Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. One way for believers to handle the temptation of sex outside marriage is to realize who they take to bed with them. God Himself is a witness to all they do there, since they're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Today, how seriously God looks at our sexuality. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Now, Erwin Lutzer comes with more of God's glory in our sexuality.
Let me speak to you just casually and directly today. Here's somebody who lived immorally. He's marrying somebody who lived immorally. They've got all of these soul ties in their mind. The relationship which God intended has been put together and then broken, put together and broken, put together and broken. Now we bring them to the altar, and we all look at the beautiful bride, and we look at the handsome groom, and we expect them to live happily ever after, and they've got all kinds of junk swirling around in their memories and in their minds. It's not as if there's no hope for them, because there is. That's why I'm encouraging you to stay till the end of the message. But do you see, when you begin to mess with this matter of sexuality, the consequences always dog you. So the Apostle Paul is saying one reason why it is so important for us to be morally pure is because of who we're joined to. We're joined to Christ. Don't take Christ into an unholy bed with you as an unwilling partner having to put up with what you are doing as a believer. So that's number one. Number two, notice who the Apostle Paul says indwells us. Notice what the text has to say. And do you not know that he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him? Flee immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You know, in the Old Testament, God had his temple, and he dwelt there in that temple. And there were two sections to it. There was the larger courtyard. That in Greek was known as the Hieron. And then the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, the Greek word is naos. And that's the word that's used here. He says, do you not know that your body contains the Holy of Holies? Because God is dwelling there. And because God is dwelling there, don't grieve the blessed Holy Spirit of God who has taken residence in your mind and in your heart and in your body. Don't put the Holy Spirit through that kind of grief. There are two sins in the Bible that are spoken of that really do grieve the Spirit. One is bitterness and anger and resentment, and the other one happens to be sexual sin. Now, why is it that the Holy Spirit of God grieves when we sin? Because the Spirit knows things that we should know as well. If you're a parent here today and you are grieving because your child is a runaway, because your child is a prodigal, why do you grieve so much? For two reasons. Number one, you know that the far country is a terrible place and it makes promises it can never keep. And as an adult, you know the consequences of sin, but your child doesn't. So you grieve because of what you know. But the real reason why you grieve is because you love. The more you love a child, the more you're going to grieve because of that child. And the reason that the Holy Spirit of God grieves with us is because the Holy Spirit of God knows, first of all, that sin is a bad idea, and sin is actually a mask worn by God's sworn enemy, namely Satan. And God's enemy is the one who wants to make sin to look good to us and deceive us. And so consequently, the Apostle Paul is saying, don't you realize that the Holy Spirit of God who is within you, he knows that, but the Spirit of God also loves us. And because God loves, God is grieved when he sees us go the wrong direction, destroying ourselves, destroying our testimony, and above all, destroying even ourselves as persons. The second reason why we ought to be morally pure is not only, number one, because we're joined to Jesus, but number two, because we are indwelt by the blessed Holy Spirit of God. We are the temple of God. We are not a garage. Would you remember that? We are God's holy temple. Therefore, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. But then there's a third reason, and that is because of who bought us. You'll notice it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." You were bought with a price. You aren't your own. When you get a sickness, when you're told that you have cancer, you should keep in mind that it is, after all, a body that belongs to God. And God eventually will take you to heaven. We will all die. Death is just around the corner for some of us, though we don't know exactly for who. And God will take us to heaven, and then eventually he'll give us a new body. But our bodies have been purchased by God. First of all, we are his on the basis of creation, but we are also his on the basis of redemption. And because of that redemption, we have an obligation to God to say, "Here's my body, use it." That's why I've been encouraging you every morning before you get out of bed, as I did this morning, to pray and to say, "Oh God, today glorify yourself in my life at my expense. Because I'm not my own. I belong to God. I've been purchased at high cost." So Paul is saying that because of these reasons, flee immorality. Flee immorality. He understands that sometimes temptation is so strong that we can't stay around to see whether or not we are strong enough to resist it. You know, we all like that, don't we? We hang around and then we say, "I wonder if I'm strong enough in the Lord to resist temptation. Well, let me find out." With that kind of an attitude, we fall into temptation. So the Apostle Paul says, flee immorality. If you've got to leave the job that you're involved in, then leave it. If you've got to break off a relationship, then break it off. Now, having said all that, I promised you in this message that I would give you hope. So for this, I want you to notice that the passage is open to chapter 6, verse 9. Chapter 6, verse 9, we're still in the same chapter, but we're beginning at a different point. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" This is a strong passage. Does the Apostle Paul mean that this means that they will not get into heaven or they will just not inherit the kingdom? Many people believe it does indeed mean that the unrighteous will not even get into heaven. And then it says, don't be deceived. Why does Paul say that? Because there is no area in which we long to be deceived as when it comes to sexual sin. We want to believe our lies. We rationalize. We explain. We say, well, we have to live together for economic reasons and for other reasons. And we plan to be married. And you have to understand, I found my soulmate, somebody says. And so I can leave my wife because I finally found somebody who satisfies me. The deceptions are endless. And so the Apostle Paul says, please don't be deceived. Be deceived about some things, but don't be deceived about this. And notice what he says. "Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers." We usually don't include them, do we? The swindlers, the greedy. I thought it's okay to be greedy. I thought that's what America is all about, is greed. Well, this is what the text says. "Nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." There's the list who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Very serious stuff. Don't be deceived. Does this mean, for example, that homosexuals should be changed to heterosexuals in terms of their desires? Well, that oftentimes happens over a period of time, but it isn't necessarily the case. What we expect of those, notice it says, those who practice homosexuality, what we expect of those who struggle with homosexuality is the very same thing that we expect from those who are heterosexual singles, namely chastity and commitment to purity. And that's what the Bible indeed would require. But the question is, how do you get there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Notice it says, and this such were some of you. Such were some of you. Past tense. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Wow. So they had all those sins back then too. Yes, they did. But such were some of you. It's in your past. First of all, the Apostle Paul says you're washed. That means you've come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. You've believed in his deliverance and his forgiveness. And after you have come to faith in Christ, if you're listening today and you're not a believer, I encourage you to do that. Come to saving faith in Christ. Admit your sinfulness. Be thankful that he died on the cross for sinners and paid the debt of all who would believe on him and receive that free gift of eternal life. And you become washed. And after that, those of us who have had that experience, we continue to be washed through deep confession and repentance. And the Bible says, if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal covenant offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Yes, my friend, the first step toward purity is to be washed. Aren't you glad that God can so wash your conscience that you will no longer be condemned by it? But of course, having done that, it's very easy for us to go back and do the same sins again and again. So there's more than just washing. And that's why I hope that you join us next time right here on Running to Win as this message continues. But today I have another burden on my heart. I want to pray for you because I can't help but think that there are many people listening to this broadcast who are awash with guilt because of their addictions, because of their commitment to sensuality. They've tried to be free dozens of times, but they go back and back and back. Can I pray for you? Father, in Jesus' name I pray today. Pray for all who have listened to this broadcast, all who feel guilty, all who discover that their attachment to sensual sin is so powerful that they cannot overcome it. We ask today that by the blood of the Lamb they may be cleansed, that they might have the assurance that they have been justified, and that by your Holy Spirit who indwells them as believers, they'll be able to walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Erwin Lutzer, with more of God's glory in our sexuality. His fifth message on Nothing Else Matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. Next time, more teaching from 1 Corinthians. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.